vuol dire che nel... no.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show. In this week's show, I've got a couple videos that I did about surviving the first 90 days after a collapse, some of the things that we should be doing, as well as some of the events that I see as possibilities in 2024, all the way from the open borders down south to the presidential election at the end of the year. Now, before we get into all that, I wanted to give you a little bit of an update because I'm changing the way I'm doing things here and on YouTube. First off, YouTube hates my Survivalist Prepper channel. It massively restricts the reach that I get on YouTube. So what I decided to do was create a new channel called The Bug Out Location. And on that channel is doing pretty well. It's not getting restricted to the point that Survivalist Prepper was. And with that channel, what I'm doing, it's going to change how I'm doing the podcast and live streams and all of that. So I wanted to let you know how that's going to go moving forward. I'm not going to do the live streams every week like I have been doing or have been trying to do. I am going to do them periodically, but it's not going to be a weekly thing. What I plan on doing is sort of mixing the podcast with the new YouTube channel, The Bug Out Location, and I'm going to record videos over there and use them as for the podcast as well. Now, when I do this, I'm going to do them with the podcast in mind first. So I will record extended versions or longer versions of something, and that will be for the podcast. And then as for the video, it's going to get shrunken down because people just don't have the attention spans as far as watching videos that they do for listening to a podcast. So the podcast is going to be sort of the unedited version, and the YouTube videos will be shrunk down. Now, these videos I am going to play today, these are the shrunk down version because I recorded these before I decided that this was the route I was going to take. But they still are really good. They just don't have all the detail that I would put into a 1 hour show. So as of right now, that is the plan moving forward. Things are bound to change just like they always do. But I really am going to put a lot of effort into this podcast. I'm going to put more effort into the Bug Out Location website and the Bug Out Location YouTube channel. So with that, let's go ahead and get into the first part of the show where I go over surviving some things we might see in the first 90 days of collapse and some of the things that we can do to try to get to that third month and beyond. So let's get into that right now.
The entire economic structure of the world would collapse.
So over the last couple years, the concept of a collapse or large-scale SHTF event has become an urgent and pressing concern for many. The idea of a societal breakdown and the need for long-term survival planning is sort of shifted from the realm of the doomsday, the quote-unquote doomsday prepper, to a topic of mainstream conversation. Now, even though it's become more mainstream, an overwhelming majority of people still don't have enough food and water to last a week, maybe even less than a week, if supply lines and critical infrastructure are shut down. In this video, what I want to do is explore the timeline of a collapse, the types of events that may occur, and what steps we can take now to prepare for a prolonged period of societal breakdown. So a couple of things first. We don't know how these events might unfold, so predicting it is pretty hard to do. If the power grid is down from the very beginning, that could escalate the timeline of the different events in this situation. And vice versa, if the power remains on, it could change how things unfold over the course of time. So in the context of this video, a collapse refers to a catastrophic event or a series of events that would result in the breakdown of essential systems and services. This could include, but it's not limited to, natural disasters, pandemics, economic collapse, acts of war, EMPs, cyber attacks, or even declaring martial law, and quite possibly a combination of a few of these different events. The consequences of a collapse are far-reaching and can lead to widespread panic, shortages of essential resources, breakdown of law and order, and a complete disruption of daily life as we know it. So to better comprehend the timeline of a large-scale collapse, let's examine the stages that typically unfold in the aftermath of a major disaster. So let's talk about the first couple of days, the first 24 to 72 hours. In the immediate aftermath of some sort of large-scale disaster or complex disaster, there's often a period of shock and confusion where people are really unaware or unwilling to look at the full extent of the situation. What they do in this period is they rely on the authorities and the emergency services that are supposed to be there to restore order. We have seen time and time again where that is not necessarily the case, depending on the scale. During this time, our safety is the first thing we should have in mind. Avoid getting caught in the chaotic masses. Avoid having to go to grocery stores. Avoid, as much as possible, having to interact with these people that really don't know what's going on at this point. At the same time, we need to make sure that we do have our ducks in a row. And if we do need something or we do have the opportunity to grab a little bit extra, the first 24 hours is your window to do that. After the first 24 hours and maybe even less than that, that window has closed. Think of this like the eye of the hurricane or the calm before the storm. Right now, you can capitalize on people's confusion and not knowing what's going on. With you having the foresight and understanding this could get a whole lot worse, you have an opportunity to seize on this moment and get your ducks in a row, basically. Decisions you make at this time are going to have consequences down the line. This is your window of opportunity to decide whether you are going to bug in or bug out. This is your opportunity to maybe go get some extra fuel, fill up your car, get some propane, get those things that need to be topped off. All these things that, if you do have the opportunity, can help your situation down the line. But again, you don't want to put yourself in danger by getting these things. That's why we prepare beforehand for situations like these. Another thing you should do in the first few days and even the first day is start communicating with your neighbors. If you have a MAG group, communicate with them or support groups or anybody that you're going to need to depend on down the line. Now, a MAG group is going to be a little easier because they have the like mindset. But with your neighbors, you're going to have to basically figure out who is friend and who is foe, who is going to be able to help you and who is completely oblivious about the situation. Also, in this stage, you want to make sure you have what you think you have, and doing a quick inventory or going through your supplies and making sure you know where everything is, sort of getting organized and ready for what may come. By doing this, you also give yourself an opportunity. If there are things that you thought you had but you don't have, this is your window to go out and get those. So don't let this window pass without making these critical decisions. Along with your neighbors and your MAG group, this will be your opportunity to get family members home, all on the same page, all in the same place. And it's important that we teach our family members and they understand the fact that if something does happen, this is their window of opportunity. That first day is their best opportunity to get home, to get where they need to be. Because after that, which will go on to the first week, everything gets a whole lot harder. All right, so let's move to the first week after a collapse. And as the days progress, this is where the initial shock starts to wear off.
When they tell you not to panic, that's when you run!
And the reality and the severity of the situation becomes more apparent for those that were thinking that, oh, this is just a temporary thing. Everything's going to be fine. The government is here to help. basic services and supplies could begin to dwindle. This leads to panic buying and looting. By this point, at the first week, you may be looking at a situation where there's really nothing left to loot. But again, that depends on how quickly this scenario escalates. Law enforcement, emergency services, the first responders, hospitals will all become overwhelmed. And the declaration of martial law becomes a real possibility at this point if things are getting so far out of control that the government services can't handle the situation. In this type of situation, it's really crucial to remain vigilant and adapt to the changing circumstances. This very well could be the most dangerous time because of the uncertainties and because of the unknowns. And the people, maybe not necessarily you and your family, but everyone else out there that will just have no idea how to handle a situation like this. And depending on what caused this collapse, what events together caused this disaster, ATMs, credit card machines might be useless. The grid might be down, which means that the money in your bank is inaccessible. So the cash that you will have on hand is basically what you have. And at this point, after a few days, you don't even want to risk going out in the first place. So you should have everything you need by this point. And if you don't, you're stuck with what you have. At this point, the roads will be jammed. And this could be even less than a week. But the roads will be completely jammed and getting anywhere is going to be nearly impossible. Getting food from the grocery stores is going to be impossible. Getting fuel for vehicles is going to be impossible. And just going out in the first place is going to be very dangerous. What we need to do at this point, and hopefully we are where we are going to be for the duration of these next few months, is to secure your property and your home. People, once the grocery store shelves are empty, once there is no fuel at the gas station, once these people can't get what they need because they failed to prepare beforehand, they will find other places to get what they need. And that means people's homes. So this is an opportunity to secure your home. And I've talked about in the past where there are two different types of home defense. You've got home defense in normal times when there is law and order, and you've got SHTF home defense. This is sort of that in-between area where you're only looking, it's only been a week, so you may not want to be digging holes in your front yard, putting the pitfalls in, or putting caltrops in the driveway, but it is serious consideration at this point. At this point, you just want to make sure that you've got your perimeter defense, your home security, and all the plans that you've hopefully had in place before this ready to roll out. Another thing that is very crucial in this stage is staying informed, gathering information. We can stay informed through alternative communication channels like hand crank radios, CB radios, ham radios, establishing communications through your neighborhood, through your family network, getting information to help you understand exactly what's going on and how things might escalate in the future is going to be critical in this point. And getting actionable intelligence is important. The word of mouth, take it for what it is, but if you can get reliable information, it's going to better help you make decisions down the line. So this stage is basically all about defenses. Your home security, your neighborhood security, you're building a mutual assistance group, which will help you with defense, and staying informed about how the situation is unfolding. So moving on to 2 weeks or 3 weeks after some sort of collapse, large-scale disaster, this is when crime, looting, violence, all of those things are going to be at their peak because people will be absolutely losing their minds. Pharmacies and everything has been looted at this point, and people will start to form groups or gangs. Some of these will be good, some of these will be bad. Criminals are going to band together to get what they want, and neighborhoods are going to band together to protect themselves from those people. And this is one of those things that a lot of people just think is just absolutely far-fetched, but it really is important to be prepared for a situation like this. We are only talking about a couple weeks after something happened. But if something does get to this point where it's lasting a few weeks or a month, things are going to escalate quickly. It's also important to note, too, that in these few weeks, this month period, there are going to be a lot of people that just aren't around anymore. And unfortunately, that could include some of us as well. People on medications are going to have a hard time getting their medications. You are going to see people that are dependent on hospitals and medications start to sort of disappear, I suppose, in this time frame right here. You are also going to see quite a bit of death from crime and violence as well. You are going to have people who are starving, maybe not starving to death at this point, but hungry people are going to do whatever they need to do to get what they need. And that will lead to quite a bit of crime and violence, which in turn will lead to quite a bit of death. Although I'm not sure we're talking full-scale die-off in the first few weeks. So the solution for us in this period is to make sure that we have all the plans in place beforehand. The things that we do today are the things that are going to be important in this situation. All the learning that we do, all the supplies that we buy, all of these things are for a situation like this. To be able to stay out of sight, to hunker down and not have to deal with these people until you have to deal with these people. And as this continues on into the third week or a month, this is where the proof meets the pudding. All of your planning beforehand, how well you've set up a mutual assistance group or a community, how well you've weathered the storm, that is all going to be a huge factor on whether or not you even get to the third week. And this is also the point where you start thinking about the long term. This is, you've passed the initial first days. You've passed the point where getting fuel is even an option, or grocery stores are even an option. So this is the point you start looking at the long term. You start thinking about rationing food and how much you actually have stored. So this is past that first stage, but on to the next stage. Now, when it comes to a collapse that lasts 3 months or longer, it goes past the first few weeks, it's really hard to say what exactly this timeline is going to look like, because there are so many variables that go into this from day one to day 90. The first few days, we can make a fairly educated guess about how things are going to unfold, about how crazy people are going to get and what they're going to do when they don't have access to food, to water, the critical infrastructure that they normally would have. But as time goes on, it becomes harder and harder to define what exactly would happen, because if it is a grid down situation compared to not a grid down situation, if the critical infrastructure, if the water sewage plants are still running, if there is a little bit of fuel available, all of these things will play a factor in how severe this situation is. But I think for preparedness purposes, we can't afford to just cross our fingers and hope that it doesn't get as bad as we think it will. Because if something does last 3 months or longer and we are around, it would be somewhat similar to a Mad Max style situation. And I'm not talking about, you know, Thunderdome and the crazy cars and things like that, but it will be sort of a primal society, an anarchy type society. Governments will always be there to try to regain control. But until then, you are looking at a without rule of law type situation. In this 3 month or longer window, you are looking at the die-off, which some estimates have it at 90%. So you're looking at people with medical conditions. You're looking at anyone in fragile health, depending on the time of year, whether it's winter or the middle of summer, depending on where you live, that could have an effect. You've got starvation, dehydration, illness. Violence will be a huge factor as well. So when people hear that 90% of the population will die off in 3 months or so, most people think that's outrageous. But when you think about how society would be at that point, it doesn't seem that far-fetched. And at this 3 month or longer mark, this is the lone wolf, unless you are out in the middle of nowhere and you've got a great bug out location. the lone wolf will no longer exist. Groups, communities, and everyone that has banded together to try to just survive this situation are going to be all over the place. The post-apocalyptic fiction books that you read all the time, this is what that situation would look like. To survive to this point in a collapse timeline, you're going to have the supplies and the skills necessary for situations where there is no electricity, there is no running water, there are no hospitals, there are no police or fire departments available, there is no internet. All of these things that we think about now will become absolutely critical in a situation like this. Ham radio and CB radios would be absolutely essential. Groups that have the ability to communicate with each other and gather information are going to be far better off than the groups that don't. Something else to think about a situation where you're looking at this time frame, a matter of months, is blending into the crowd and being the gray man is also important. If you've got a year's worth of food and you've got a well and you've got plenty of water and you look like you're doing fantastic while everyone else looks emaciated and tired and grungy, you are a huge target at this point. So you don't want to look fat and happy. You want to look like everyone else. This could mean wearing clothes that are one size too big for you to make it look like you lost weight. This could mean not showering if you have the option to shower and looking like everyone else. That would play a huge role in a situation where you're months down the line and you're doing pretty well for yourself. You can't look like you're doing pretty well for yourself because you become the next target. So like I said, there are just so many different variables going into a disaster that leads up to 3 months or lasts even longer than that, that it's really hard to define exactly how things are going to unfold. But that's why we do the things we do in preparedness and learn about the different things that we learn about and even talk about the different things that we talk about that would, to the average person, seem like just completely insane, because I think at a bare minimum, people should be prepared for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, anywhere in that range. And when you are thinking about that time frame, the whole point of this video is to show that that time frame, there are a lot more things going on than just being able to eat dinner, than just being able to, you know, have a few gallons of water left. Protecting those things and withstanding and going through the situation at hand is going to be a lot tougher than a lot of people realize, that sort of just romanticize and say, hey, I've got a year's worth of food stored, I'm good to go. It's not going to be like that. A situation that does last that long to this scale that we're talking about today is going to be a difficult situation to survive, regardless who you are and regardless what you have. Unless that is you are Mark Zuckerberg with a bunker in Hawaii, and then you're probably going to be okay. But for most of us, that is not the case. So thinking about these things, doing these things, and being proactive about all of these different areas of preparedness is absolutely critical when you think about surviving a 30-day or longer collapse-type event. All right, so that's it for that one. And like I said in there, getting to 30 days in an event of this scale is not going to be a cakewalk by any means, regardless of what we have stored. Some sort of large-scale collapse-type situation, there are just so many variables that it's really hard to say what goes on past a month or so. But it is something that we absolutely need to be paying attention to, especially when you consider how 2024 may go, and that's what we're going to get into next. Some of the things that could actually cause a situation like the one we just talked about, a large-scale collapse-type situation where everything just completely goes to crap, that is something we definitely need to have on our radar at this point. Before we get into the second half of the show, I just wanted to remind everybody, we do have, I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, I do have the Bug Out Location membership website where we have preparedness courses, resources, all sorts of things over there to sort of help out along your preparedness journey. It's great for new preppers that are just getting into this. And we also have the community at members.survivalistprepper.net, which is a fantastic community. And it's great for not only just the beginning prepper, but the prepper that's been doing this for a while that wants to network and interact and ask questions that, you know, are beyond the basic things. So it's a really cool group. The website is really great. I'm working quite a bit on that to try to complete the courses and add more things to it, more resources, and a lot of different stuff. But if you're interested in that, make sure and head over to thebugoutlocation.net or thebol.net. Have a look at that. Check that out. Or you can just go to members.survivalistprepper.net and you can join the group for just $2 a month. It helps support the show, helps me continue what I'm doing. If you're not really interested in the bugoutlocation.net membership website, you can just join that private group for $2 a month. It's a really fun, really fantastic group. But with that, let's go ahead and get into part two of the show where I go over some of my thoughts on what we may see in the year 2024 and even beyond. Now, like I said earlier, this was a 15-minute video, so there's a lot of detail in here, especially since it's on YouTube, that I couldn't go into, but I'm going to probably go into each of these topics in this video in further detail later on or as this year progresses. But let's go ahead and get into part two of the show here, talking about some of the things I see happening in 2024.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
While the last few years have been a roller coaster ride, to say the least, 2024 could be the year that takes the cake, and I mean that literally. The question is, will it go their way or will something stop it? And I think that either way, we lose. But will we lose the battle or will we lose the war? Meaning, will we force change, accountability, and a little bit of rationality in this clown world that we're living in? Or will we continue on being led like cattle to the slaughter? That, I think, has yet to be determined. Over the past decade, we've seen what happens when you go against the machine. And we've seen how brazen they become, feeling like they can do whatever they want. And to this point, they actually can. In this video, I want to go over five possible scenarios that could turn 2024 on its head. Five situations that could have an impact far beyond 2024. But before I get into what's possible in the coming year, I have a question. Why are the elites preparing, and is it something that we should really even care about? Quite a few million and billionaires have been building bunkers and preparing lately for something that they helped create, by the way. But I'm not sure it will actually, quote-unquote, save them like they think it will. There is a lot more to being prepared than just having a bug out bag, having food storage, or having a nice 5,000 square foot survival shelter. To me, I have the feeling that these bunkers that these super rich people, these elites are building, are going to belong to somebody else shortly after the S hits the fan. Now, who really knows? Maybe they've hired some prepping consultants and they're doing things right and they are thinking like a prepper, but I highly doubt it. At any rate, leave a comment below and let me know what you think. Is it something we should be paying attention to? Is it just rich people doing rich people things? Or is it rich people doing rich people things because they have a little bit of inside knowledge or they see where everything is headed? Curious to see your response. So let's go ahead and go over the five things that I think are a possibility, a big possibility this year that could really turn things upside down. And I'm going to leave the biggest one for last, the one that I am the most concerned about in 2024. But let's start with the big one that has been on my radar for years, and that's inflation and spending. Spending has been one of these things that has been on my radar for over a decade now, and it just seems like something where the can just gets kicked down the road time and time again. And just when you think you can't go any higher, they go higher and business goes on as usual. When you look at the usdebtclock.org website, you can see here that at this time of recording this video, our national debt is $34 trillion. This is, it's just astronomical. And when you look even lower, you look at the unfunded liabilities we have, we're looking at $97 trillion. That is absolutely insane to me. We are at the point in this country where you see on this chart here, $726 billion that we are paying per year on interest alone. That number is absolutely astronomical to me, and I just can't see how that is sustainable. But that also goes into the other concerning trends that I see as far as inflation and spending, and that is the CBDC, the central bank digital currency. I think all of this has to come to a head at some point, and the rollout of the CBDC is absolutely inevitable. And I think we are going to see some steps taken this year to make sure to get those pieces in place, to make sure that they can account for every little penny that they can, whether that's Venmo transactions, PayPal transactions, having garage sales, whatever they can do to nickel and dime and get every little penny they can, they are going to do. The CBDC also has other implications in some of the other things I'm going to talk about today that really make it a lot easier for the government to get what they want and understand what you are doing and make sure you are towing the company line. You've also got some shipping issues. You see the things going on in the Red Sea right now. You've got, which could lead to possible shortages, which all could lead to an unstable economy, the inflation, all those things that we've been seeing over the last 4 or 5 years. Those could become a real issue as well. The shipping issues I'll go into later when I talk about global conflicts, but the inflation and the outrageous spending that our politicians do, and it doesn't seem to bother them one bit, that is a big concern this year, next year, and the 10 years before this and the 10 years after this until something finally gives. And I think this may be the year that we see something, that turning point, I suppose. The next alarming trend that I see, and I'm not sure how big this is going to be, but it could be huge, and that's AI advancements. With artificial intelligence, which is neither artificial nor intelligent, this is woke programming and political correctness on steroids is basically what it is at this point. But there are things that could happen because of this that really lead to making these three-letter alphabet agencies' jobs much, much easier. You've got privacy. You've got tracking. You look at the World Economic Forum's game plan, and they've had this laid out for years. So they've seen this coming. This isn't like something that they're trying to figure out. They've seen this coming for years, and they are looking at ways to harness this technology and use it in ways in order to keep us in control, basically. So who really knows where this goes and who really knows how fast it goes? Look at the internet. Back in 1990 is when it really started to pick up steam. So you're talking about 30 years or so to get to the point where we are right now. You've got cell phones that back in 2000, very few people actually had those, or they had the flip phones. And look where cell phones are today. It's basically a tracking device we keep in our pocket. So when you look at how quickly technology advances, I think with artificial intelligence, we're going to see that skyrocket just because of the things that it can do. And it's going to be far reaching. It could have an impact on the economy as well because of jobs and layoffs and things like that. So it's really hard to say exactly what could happen because of artificial intelligence. But I know that it's going to make huge advancements this year. It's going to come out of the dark ages like it is right now, where it's basically chat bots and pictures and things like that. And it's going to be a whole lot, I don't know that I want to say scarier, but it could get to that point in 2024. And it just makes these three-letter alphabet agencies' jobs so much easier. It makes it so much easier for the government and these other agencies to know exactly what you're doing, where you're spending your money, what you're spending your money on, and where you go on a daily basis. So it is something that is high on my radar going into 2024. Where do the advancements in artificial intelligence go? The next concern I have is the open borders. And this is, I've been watching this all year, and it seems like the floodgates are open and there's really no concern about it, almost to the point where it seems intentional. Now, my concern going into 2024 is not necessarily the open borders themselves, but what we're going to see because the floodgates have been open for so long. Who is in here now? We could see sleeper cells that sort of start to formulate. And as I go through a couple more of these, maybe there are certain situations where they are activated. You've got all sorts of nationalities coming across the borders these days. It's not just South America. You've got people from the Middle East coming over. You've got people from China coming over. You've got people from all over the place. And I've said this in a past video. We've made so many enemies that why not? Why wouldn't somebody seize on an opportunity like this? So terrorism attacks, sleeper cells, larger conflicts, all of those things I think we can see in 2024. Now, are they smaller scale or is it something bigger? And I think that is yet to be seen. But the after effects of just opening the floodgates down south really are going to have an impact, I think, this year. And we should be ready and prepared to see some repercussions of the things that have been going on the last couple of years. Next, I have global conflicts. And this is a really tough one because there are a lot of things going on. First and foremost, you've got the military recruitment, which is severely lacking in this country. You've got the lack of trust in the military. You've got the lack of mental fortitude of some of the younger people these days. And at the same time, it's not all their fault because the military these days, you sort of have to wonder what they're doing in the first place, what they're all about. With the military industrial complex, you're not sure what is actually necessary and what actually isn't. What is trading bodies for dollar bills these days? And I think that's the mentality that a lot of people have, and their trust in the military has just waned over the last decade or so. On top of that, you also have the depleted arsenal, this thing going on out in Europe. And this is not just us. This is a lot of Western countries. But what does that mean if something happens in the future between China, between the things that are going on in the Middle East, North Korea? I mean, we, like I said, we've got a lot of enemies. So what does that mean if something kicks off in 2024? Are we going to be able to deal with that situation? And honestly, we don't really know what's going on, but it sure seems like to me that we are sending a lot over there, using a lot, and leaving ourselves severely underprepared. And finally, you also have the situation in China, which could go a couple of different ways. Their economy is teetering on the brink, but you also have the Taiwan factor where are they going to decide that this is the time to go in to take over what they need to? You've got the elections coming up in Taiwan. You've got their economy, like I said, just in shambles. So does that start to fall apart? It's just hard to say because China is such a question mark, but does have the potential to be a large disruption. You know, North Korea may not be all that bad unless they launch nukes, but China would be a huge issue. And who's coming along with them? If it's China, it's possibly Russia. It's possibly Iran. You've got things going on in the Middle East right now that could kick off in 2024 as well. So just so many moving parts to all these global conflicts, whether some of them are intentional and some of them are not. There are a lot of things going on that we should be prepared for. Now, the last one I've got here, and this is the big one to me, because this is something is going to happen around election time, whether that's a false flag event, whether that's a large scale disaster meant to disrupt everything, something is going to happen. And I've got to be careful on YouTube not to go into too much detail about my thoughts on this, but around election time, it is going to get pretty crazy, I think. There are a bunch of possibilities and a bunch of scenarios that could happen. You've got everything from the minor stuff like dirt on politicians to full out assassinations that could be a possibility. And honestly, I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened to this point, but we'll see how 2024 goes. You've also got, leading up to the election, you're going to have that crackdown on misinformation, just like we saw last time, where there are certain things you're allowed to talk about, there are certain things you are not. You've got everybody already pitted against each other, so that is going to go into hyperdrive making sure that everyone understands who is the threat to democracy. And when I say threat to democracy, I mean threat to their democracy, not a threat to our democracy. And I think the biggest thing with the election coming in 2024 is the potential for civil unrest, for riots, for even a small-scale civil war-type situation. And something that could start as a small-scale situation and lead to something much, much more. This has potential to be one of the most disruptive elections that I've seen in my lifetime. They have set the pieces in place. They've been doing this for almost a decade now of just completely doing whatever they want, saying whatever they want, and demonizing whoever they want. So we are going to see some pretty stressful times around this time of year coming up in 2024. And how this shapes out, this is what I was talking about in the beginning. Do we win the battle or do we win the war? How this shapes out will have a huge impact on the fate of this country, bigger than a lot of people believe. So to me, it's more of a watching how things unfold in early 2024, middle 2024, and just waiting for that final straw to see where things go in the future. I'll be talking quite a bit about the election coming up, I'm sure, but that is one thing. There are so many different possibilities. There are so many different moving parts these days that it really is. I don't know that there is any way to predict. I think all we can do is prepare and get ready for and do the things that we need to do, because it's just so uncertain. But I think it is certain that there will be some of these situations, maybe not all of them. Maybe they don't play out exactly like I sort of think they will in my head. And honestly, I hope they don't. But preparedness is about planning ahead for all these things, and that's exactly what I plan on doing. So with that, these are just five things that I've thought about that are on my radar that really have me thinking about what's going to go on this year, because I truly do believe this is going to be an insane year. And I know I've said this 3-4 years in a row now, and they all have been crazy, but I don't think any of them are going to compare to what we are going to see this year. And I hope I'm wrong, but we will, you know, we'll see down the line. But if you have any ideas, any thoughts on this, what things you are concerned about heading into 2024, leave a comment below and let me know. Also, like I said in the beginning, leave a comment and let me know if it bothers you or if you could care less that the elites are preparing and building their survival bunkers and probably buying islands and all sorts of different things that they're doing. Leave a comment below and let me know if you care at all about that. But with that, everyone, take care and prepare, and we will talk to you all later.